Good to see you this morning. Welcome to October. I don't know about you, but it feels like September was just a blur of activities. I'm always amazed at how in the life of the church there is such a dramatic shift between what happens at the end of summer and then the start of the fall. There just seems to be so many things going on, so many things here at the church that are starting up again. But it's been so great just to reconnect with one another and also to reconnect with our purpose that we have as a church. And that's been one of our goals over the last 4 weeks as we've been preaching a series with you on the vision that we have as a local church. We believe that God has a unique call on us as a church corporately, but we also believe he has a unique call on every individual that's a part of this church and every individual that's outside of this church, actually. Our desire is to fulfill our call as a church, which involves ministry in our own city and ministry around the world. But we also have this burning passion to see every individual within this church activated in the mission of Jesus, being who God has created them to be and doing what God has created them to do. As each individual embraces the call of God on their lives and lives it, that is when we corporately begin to live our call as a church at a whole other level. There's a direct correlation between the two. And so for the last 4 weeks, we have looked at this whole idea, starting with the big picture and then focusing specifically on the three pillars that are the foundation of our vision as a church. Those three pillars are finding hope, transforming lives, and inspiring action. I believe that these have been some great messages, and we've been stirred. But at some point, we always have to ask ourselves, what am I going to do with what I've been hearing? We've been discussing our vision from sort of a bird's eye point of view. But what does that mean practically on the ground? It's this question that I want to give some time to this morning. And I want to talk about living our call from a practical level and with this thought of, well, how do I begin? By the way, I do feel like God is constantly calling us. So sometimes when we talk about call, it's more from a broad point of view in the area of maybe vocation or ministry. But it's also how do we respond to the things that God brings across our path each and every day where he's calling us in that moment. So as you begin to see the big picture that God has called you before you were even born, as he begins to give you hope and bring transformation into your life, as you begin to feel this inspiration to action, how do you begin to live your call? Let me give you three thoughts answering that question this morning. The first one is this. It starts with availability. When I think back to my early 20s, this was the time in my personal life where I started feeling this strong sense of call, and in my case, to do ministry full time. Now, admittedly, I had some pretty grandiose ideas at that time, and my sense of timing as to how these things would happen was way off. But I had surrendered my life to Jesus, and now I was in this place of wondering, well, how do I get started? I wasn't exactly sure what God wanted me to do, but I had some dreams, no doubt. At that time in my life, I began having some conversations with my dad, and he gave me some very solid wisdom. He brought my head out of the clouds a little bit and brought me down to earth and told me where I should begin. He said to me, "Joel, why don't you look for a need that the church has that you can meet and then fill it, meet the need." He also challenged me at the time to support some of the leaders in our church and their various ministries wherever I could. I remember one particular situation where I could even see some weakness in one of the leaders. And I was having a conversation. I think I was being a little bit critical. And instead, and my dad challenged me at that time. He said, Joel, why don't, instead of being critical because you see the weakness, why don't you fill the gap and make that leader more successful? He summed it all up by reminding me that God rewards faithfulness. And if I would just be faithful to serve the needs around me, God would open every door in my life that needs to be opened. Essentially, what my dad was challenging me about was whether I would be available to God, no matter how small or big the task, no matter whether I particularly liked it or not. He was challenging me to just present myself to the Lord for service wherever I could. And so I remember at that time, I knew that the church needed ushers and greeters. So I did that for a while. I knew we needed Sunday school teachers, so I taught for a bit. I started leading life groups because we needed life group leaders. It's amazing, 25 years later, we still have all these needs. I started teaching in the school. I went to the prophetic classes and started to grow there and started to help out there. I said yes to small speaking opportunities. In short, I just got really involved in the life of the church. And slowly things began to grow and began to take form, although admittedly not in the time or the way that I thought it would. I've heard some people say to me when I talk about this dream that I've had of preaching in gospel crusades since the age of 16, that they've never had this big dream or this strong sense of call in something particularly like that. And I don't know why God spoke to me in that way, but preaching crusades, let me tell you, is only a small part of my call. A lot of living my call is in areas where I never had a big dream. In fact, most of you know that one thing I definitely was never going to be was a pastor. That was never a dream. In fact, I had even said, I will never be a pastor. But as I kept making myself available, and as I kept saying yes to God, He began to lead me down paths I never would have chosen on my own. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord and He will give you your heart's desires. We discussed earlier in this series how when we take delight in the Lord, something begins to happen to our internal wiring. God changes it as He transforms us. And suddenly we begin to desire things that we never would have desired. Things that God desires, they become ours. And I wrestled for a while with saying yes to pastoring, but I knew God wanted me to do it. And so I told Him specifically, well, then God, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to change my heart. And guess what He did? He changed it. I love Harvest City Church. I feel honored and privileged to be a part of the leadership team here. At every step, there has always been a challenge to continue to say yes to God. And as I've been faithful to do it, He's led me forward and my responsibilities have changed and they've grown in various seasons of life. Some things that I've done, I have really loved for the personal enjoyment they gave me. Other things weren't my favorites. But I found joy in knowing that no matter what, I was doing it all for God. Paul said to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. If you were to ask me, and some people do, do you love pastoring? I would say, I love many aspects of it. But there are some I don't enjoy so much. But I always feel great purpose in it. Because I do it for the Lord. And that gives me great joy. I don't think that there is anything that you do in service for the Lord that you will love every part of it. But if your perspective is one that sees that your work is worship to the Lord, you'll do it with all your heart and you'll find tremendous meaning in it. I find that some people stop being available because they lose this perspective. The heart behind all your service needs to be the desire to see the kingdom of God advance and the name of Jesus glorified. The motivation for service is to give your life in worship to the King of Kings. When you have this perspective, I believe that you will make yourself available to most anything. We live in a consumeristic society where everything is about us and everything is about our needs. I want to tell you that that selfish attitude kills availability. I have news for you. Living your call always involves sacrifice, death to self, and a heart that just wants to serve your King. I've always loved the story of Joseph in Scripture. Here was a guy who had a great dream and he had a powerful sense of call right from his youth. But immediately after receiving this call, if you know this story, you know that it seemed like all hell came against him. He was betrayed by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused and thrown into prison. And for 12 years, it seemed that this dream or this call that he felt as a young man was never going to be a reality. But because we know the end of the story, we know that in those 12 years, Joseph was being tested and he was being developed by all that was happening to him. And I think one of the great lessons that we learned from his life was the fact that Joseph served faithfully in every situation he found himself in. He didn't choose slavery. But he did choose to be the best servant that he could be and gave Potiphar the best of all that he had. He didn't choose imprisonment, but he did choose to serve the warden and the other prisoners with his talents and abilities. Joseph just released his gifts wherever he was. He served others with all his heart. Why? Because I believe he was doing it all for the Lord. It was because of this attitude that God opened the door for him to eventually become the great leader in Egypt, where the ones who betrayed him would later bow before him. Where you start and where you end up is often not the same place. But if you don't have the heart to start with the needs in front of you, you will never fully step into the call that God has for you. If you ever lose that servant heart along the way, you will ultimately forfeit the call of God upon your life. I've seen many who do nothing or who get frustrated because they're waiting for this big moment or this great call to come into focus. And they fail to realize it all begins with just being available with what is in front of you. I see others who are doing nothing because they can't quite figure out what God has called them to. And they're ever seeking after, what is your will for my life, God? I'm just not sure. I just got to pray about it some more. I heard Reinhard Bonnke say one time, those who forever seek the will of God are overrun by those who do it. While you're trying to figure out your call, just start by meeting the needs that are right in front of you. It's a great place to begin. Make yourself available wherever you can. I have a strong suspicion that you will find your purpose along the way. And it might just be in a place where you least expected it. From the story of Joseph, we learn that the closed doors and the hidden places are where the heart of our service is tested. It's in these places where God prepares us. I think it's interesting that Joseph learned how to lead and administrate on a smaller scale and develop skills in places that he never would have chosen that ultimately became transferable on a much larger level. How often does God give us a lion and a bear before he gives us Goliath? How often does God ask us to serve another man's vision before he gives us our own? These are all tests of our heart. They're all tests of our availability. When you live your life in a way that just says, God, I'm available today for whatever you have for me, and when your desire is to serve him with all your heart in whatever capacity he has you in, you will see God do amazing things through your life. Let me tell you a little story in that regard about a member in our own church who inspired me recently. Guest services is one of those areas where we always have a need in our church. And my guess is when you walk in and you see the sign, live your call, the guest services probably doesn't just hit you as this great call to live. It might not stand out as anything great. But you know, our guest services team, you could call them our first impressions team. They're the face, the first face often of our church to the public. Someone said you never get a second chance to make a first impression. We may never get the chance to bring hope and transformation if the first experiences through our doors are negative. It's a vital ministry to the church. It's a vital part of our Sunday morning experience. And we have some great guest services team members who have such a heart for this ministry. I thank you. And one of those members is a guy, and his name, I'll call him Trent, because that's his name. You'll often find Trent shaking your hand right outside the doors in the foyer on the way out of the church with a smile, and he always says, have a great week. And he looks like he means it when he shakes your hand. Trent is not a preacher. He's not a public person. But he has a servant's heart, and he's faithful. And recently, when God went looking for someone to use, he found Trent available. We spent a lot of money in the last 2 years upgrading our playground for our school, and also with the hopes that we could be a blessing to our community, particularly those who live in the apartments all around us who have little green space for their kids. I want to tell you, that playground is used constantly. It's going all the time. Even at night, I've left in the dark and there's people sitting at the picnic tables and kids playing. It's used constantly. And on one Sunday in spring, as Trent was doing his guest services ministry, he noticed a family on the playground during church. Now, I want to tell you, on the guest services checklist, and I don't know what's on there, but I promise you, there's nothing on the checklist that says, when you see a family on the playground during church, go start a conversation with them and invite them into the service. But for some reason, when Trent saw this family out the doors on the playground as church was going on, he thought, I'm going to go make my way over to them. And he started up a conversation. He was going above and beyond. He was being led by the Holy Spirit. This family was new to Canada. They had no idea what was happening in this building, why the cars were in the lot. And so Trent told them. And he invited them, do you want to come in and see? Why don't you come be a part of the service? And so they did. They came in, and they've been coming ever since. They shared this story in our connections class last Sunday. As we were going around the room, how did you end up in Harvest City Church? What brought you here? They told the story. We were on the playground. We had no idea. We just always saw the cars in the lot. We didn't really know what was happening. Their daughter now attends our school. They're studying the Bible with another couple in our church and recently started their faith journey. I asked them if I could share their story with you today, just so you know, and they said that I could. How many of you would agree that Trent is living his call? You know, I loved our connections class week. The first one was during the second service. Normally, I sort of go out, make a greeting, and then I come back into the service. But because Jason was preaching last week, I said, I just want to stay in the first class. And in the first class, we have people just going and sharing about how they ended up in the church and a bit of their backgrounds. And I just loved it. We had people there from every walk of life, new believers, old believers, different nations. And hearing the stories just fired me up. And there was one thing that they kept saying, this place just feels like home. People are so friendly here. People are so kind here. I don't know when Trent rolled out of his bed that Sunday morning if he knew that God had a divine appointment for him. But because he's faithful, because he serves with his whole heart, and because he made himself available, God used him in a way that is going to have an eternal impact. As he lived his call, he helped this church live our call in giving hope and transforming the lives of our community. The second point I want to make this morning is that it requires a stretch. One of the things I've discovered over the years is that every step of availability requires a stretch. When God calls you, his call often pushes you beyond what's comfortable, what's natural, and sometimes what is even logical from a human point of view. I don't believe you can grow in your faith without stretching. It's the stretch that requires trust and dependence upon God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, "Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever ask or think." When I see that phrase, I think that means stretch. I've uttered this phrase to God at different times in my life. Lord, I didn't ask for this. But you know what? When you say, God, I'm available, you are setting yourself up for more than you think you are. He will ask more of you than what you think you're capable of, and it's likely true. But you can do it through his mighty power at work within you. I love the story of Joshua and the Israelites as they were about to step into their inheritance. A previous generation had been unwilling to stretch and take a leap of faith and trust that God could do the impossible, and so they never lived in what God had called them to. And now here is Joshua leading another generation that has been raised up. And the Lord says to Joshua in chapter 3, verse 7, "Today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses." Joshua had been a faithful man who had always made himself available to Moses. He had served another man's vision. He had always done whatever had been asked of him. And now God comes to him and essentially says, Joshua, today I'm giving you an upgrade. I'm calling you to more, to lead this people into their inheritance. But it was going to require a stretch. A literal step of faith was required. Because between the Israelites and the promise was the Jordan River. And verse 15 says it was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until there was this dry riverbed, and all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Did you notice that in the natural, this was the worst time of the year to cross the Jordan? It was the time when it was overflowing its banks. But when God calls you, the impossible becomes possible. And sometimes we have to take that step, and then suddenly a way appears where there seems to be no way. But that step is a stretch. If you know the story, the first town the Israelites came to was Jericho. And taking that city required another stretch of faith. The point is, you can't live your call sitting in your easy chair, in your lazy boy. The journey of faith is one of many steps, and each step requires a stretch. My experience is that God grows our faith through each step of faith. You know, this past year with Lift Evangelistic Ministries, our budget that we had to believe God for was $225,000. 9 years ago, I couldn't imagine where we were going to get $20,000 from. I remember thinking that was impossible. And now we're believing God for $225,000, and by the way, we've almost got it. Maybe 9 years from now, God will be asking me to believe him for $1 million a year. I think he will. He grows our faith with each step of obedience. Believing God for 20, yawn. He can do that in his sleep. I have lots of faith for 20. 220? That was a stretch. If he's called us to above and beyond, it will always be impossible on our own. So if you're going to live your call, be prepared to be stretched beyond what is comfortable. But my friends, when the Jordan opens and you see God do the impossible, there's nothing like it. When you see the waters back up and you walk through on dry land, you come alive. You're living your call. Your faith is alive. It's active. It's sharp. Those who've grown stale and those who've abandoned their call are those who've stopped being available and have ceased being willing to stretch beyond what is comfortable. So I ask you this morning, is there a step or a stretch that God is asking you to make today? My third and final point is this. You can't live your call on your own. Where does it begin? You better begin by getting in community. I'm absolutely convinced that the call God has for us to fulfill can only be done with the community and in the community with other followers of Jesus. Not only has God made it so that we are, to fulfill our call means we've got to be completely dependent on him, but he has also made us dependent on each other. In his genius, he has woven our lives together in such a way that our full capabilities are only realized through working together. God uses others to open doors for us, to encourage us, to financially support us, to mentor us, to steer us back onto the path, to shoulder the load. I could go on. If I were to use my own life as an example, some would say that I have a call to be an evangelist. I hope that's true because I'm doing it. But I learned very quickly that I needed an army of skilled, diversified, and willing people around me in order to do it. And I discovered they also needed me. I was a part of them fulfilling their calls. Anatoly, Pastor Anatoly in our church, we know he has a call to the nations. He has a call to administration. He has a call to unreached areas. He has a call to train and equip. And his call is being fulfilled as he helps me fulfill mine. He enhances my ministry as I enhance his. Media people are required, and they are finding their place as they serve in partnership with us. You know, I'm not maybe You think I'm shouting today, but I was shouting a lot louder yesterday because I preached on this stage yesterday, 4 p.m., to an empty room and to some cameras at the back, because next weekend I'm preaching at an evangelistic conference in Uganda over video. It was a COVID flashback, preaching to an empty room. You know what? We had guys running each camera, a guy running sound, a guy mixing it all, who came in on a Saturday and served. You didn't know about it, but you do now. I can't preach in Uganda next week without him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They're fulfilling their call. And I'm helping them, and they're helping me. People with resources are living their call as they fund the kingdom of God, as they partner with us. I could go on and on. There's this familiar scripture in Hebrews 10. I've often quoted it in regards to why coming to church is so important, and it goes like this. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Not only are the talents of others needed for us to fulfill our call, but there is a strength and an encouragement that comes as we pull together for the cause of Christ. The stretching and the battle of faith, let me tell you, is exhausting. Perspective can easily be lost in those hidden places, in those struggles, in those times of confusion. But when you are together in relationship, there is a strength that is given and transferred to one another. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone, they're in real trouble. I can't tell you how many times I've needed the strength of another and the courage of another in order to keep being a person of courage myself. Do you know that one of the most powerful things you can do is encourage someone? Some of you, probably most of you, know the story of Jonathan defeating the Philistines by climbing this ravine. Would he have ever climbed up the ravine if his armor bearer hadn't said to him, do all that you have in mind, go ahead, I'm with you heart and soul? When Jonathan floated this idea, crazy idea of what he was thinking about doing, I don't think he would have. I tell you, knowing that his armor bearer was with him gave him courage to take that crazy leap of faith. I'm so grateful for those kinds of people who are in my life. There are many such people like that in this room this morning. So many of you in this room have given me courage. You know, a couple Sundays ago, I had a great conversation with an old friend between the services. I say he's an old friend, not necessarily because we've been friends for so long, but because in comparison to me, he's old. This person, over the years, has given to Lyft financially. In fact, he was one of our first big supporters. He has blessed me personally, and he's often encouraged me. And we chatted about various things in the conversation. But at the end of the conversation, as we were just sitting in the seats, he just said, so how are you doing? How's pastoring? And I just started sharing with him. And then he got choked up, and he said some very kind and supportive things to me. And then he prayed for me with tears in his eyes. I want to tell you, that conversation gave me courage and confidence. I found strength knowing that this man, this veteran of the faith, believed in me and had my back. I walked a little taller. I strutted with a little more confidence. If you say, I don't know where to begin, Joel, how do I begin living my call? Can I suggest to you, find someone who is doing something for God and just encourage them however you can. It's powerful. It's something we're all called to do and something every one of us can do. Give someone courage. That's what encouraging does. Can you stand to your feet this morning? Father, we come to you today grateful that you've called us, grateful that you've placed us in a community of believers, of God seekers. Lord, I pray that you would help us to pull together as one man for the cause that you've given us. I pray that you would help us to strengthen one another and encourage one another and provoke one another. Lord, I pray today that you would give us the courage to make ourselves available. Give us the courage to take those leaps of faith. God, you are the author of faith, and sometimes we're saying, I think you want us to take this leap, but I don't know if I've got the faith. God, would you give us the faith? I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, we pray those kinds of prayers. Lord, if there's reasons why we're not being available, would you challenge us on those and convict us on those? And Lord, I pray that you would even help us to see the need right in front of us that we've been overlooking every Sunday or every week or every day. Lord, I pray just for an increased sensitivity to the nudge of the Holy Spirit that says, go to the playground, start a conversation. Lord, I pray that we would begin to just be more available in the everyday moments of life, more sensitive to what you're doing. God, I pray that you would give us kingdom hearts, servant hearts, that we would have that perspective. I just want to serve the King of Kings. It's my greatest act of worship. Lord, where the enemy has caused some of those things to get fuzzy in us and where we've lost perspective, would you bring us back to a right perspective this morning? That even the things that we don't particularly love doing, we can have great joy because they're advancing your cause and they're done in worship to you. Lord, forgive us where we've grumbled and complained and haven't seen that our service has an eternal purpose. Lord, help us to see the eternal in the sacred, in the mundane and ordinary. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.
Hey everyone, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We hope you enjoyed it and found something that spoke to you or blessed you in some way. That really is the heart of Harvest City Church, that you take what you've heard, learned, or experienced here, and then go out and share that good news with others. So go ahead and post this video to your page, start conversations, and who knows the lives that God could transform through it. If we can support you in some way in this season, please let us know. Maybe you've decided to dedicate your life fully to Jesus. We want to hear about it and celebrate with you and help you in those first steps. Connecting in to share the joys and the struggles of life is why we're here. Finding community is super important too. So if you're wondering about any of our programs for kids, youth, or adults, just reach out to us by phone or at the link below and we'll be in touch. To all of those who are partnering financially with us, thank you for your investment into the kingdom of God. It allows us to do what he's calling us to and reach even more people. For more info on that, go over to harvestconnect.ca/give. If you haven't already, be sure to check out our live stream chat area at harvestconnect.ca/live. It's a great place for interaction, commenting, prayer with our online hosts, and more. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our social pages and all that good stuff too. Take care, keep living your call, and we'll see you again real soon.